And as they do, I would invite you to turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, as we read verses 34 through 40. And the Pew Bible is on page 928. John chapter 6, verses 34 through 40. And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." We come today, the Sunday before the Thanksgiving celebration, on Turkey Day. Yeah, that's really what it is. Yeah. Thursday is Turkey Day. Right. We have brought bags of food, and I know that there were a few folks who said, running too late, running too hectic, get it to you tonight. And that food will be used here in the community to share with those who are in need. Many, if not most of us, have probably already purchased the food we will cook and eat on Thursday. We were reminded of that food just a short time ago. If you don't remember, I can pick up the card and give you a running list of the food that was mentioned for Thursday, or for any day, for that matter. We will eat and eat. Then we will sit a while. And then in spite of swearing that we're too full to eat when we sit down, we will get up again later and at least graze. And I hope that we will all pause to give thanks. To give thanks to the God who has allowed us to have not only these things that we will consume, but to have the life that we have and the ability to share that life with God and with others. In far too many homes, I imagine, this Thanksgiving, there will be little, if any, reference to God. There will be more interest and emphasis on what is on the television. In fact, around Thanksgiving to Christmas, and then again right before the Super Bowl. You know, everybody watches, they get in a stupor. Big screen TVs get sold so that people can do this. But I hope that that won't be the case. I mean, you can watch football, that's okay. I'm just hoping it will not be the case that you forget to give thanks to God for all of those things, even the ability to turn on the tube. There's not too much that we have at Thanksgiving that I don't like unless someone happens to serve beets. Yet many of you know that is my personal enemy in the world. But I must admit that I love bread and butter. I'm trying to avoid a temptation here.
I like bread and butter. Oh. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't avoid it. But I really like bread and butter. And I will put butter on the biscuit and then slap the dark meat turkey on it. Let it melt really good. And then put some more butter on it and then eat it. Occasionally some gravy, but I prefer butter on the bread. And I want plenty of that. But then again, if you really think about it, bread has been, is, pretty much always has been a staple for life, has it not? Not just in the biblical text, but in other places. We read about people making bread and baking bread out of all kinds of things. And sometimes it rises and sometimes it's flatbread. In most cultures, and quite frankly, in most ancient religions, grain and grain offerings and bread were very, very important. In fact, they're not only staples to eat, but they're used in religious rituals to remind the adherents, the believers, of the importance of grains, the importance of bread to live. And we all know what happens and what we must do any time the weather people even mention snow or ice. Bread and milk. Right? Bread and milk. I never fully understood it. Someone explained it to me one time. If it's cold enough, you can sit the milk outside and it'll stay cold and you got milk to drink, even if you lose power. And you can at least slap some peanut butter or something else on the bread and have something to eat. So once again, bread is a staple which gets us through difficult times as well. Yet that bread doesn't last, does it? We run out of it and have to go get more. Or we leave it so long that it turns into medicine bread. And we don't want to eat it even though that's penicillin. Right? Or maybe we just see a little bit and we cut that corner off and eat the rest of it. Well, you know something? That was no different in Jesus' day. The bread would run out. The bread would go bad. The barley, the wheat, the rye, the other flours would run short sometimes. And people would have to make more or buy more or search for that. And in times of famine in the ancient world, grain would be gathered and stored, especially in places like Egypt, for people to come and to buy so that they could continue to live just on those mere staple foods. And like me, those folks got tired of running to the store or out into the field or somewhere else. In chapter 6 of the Gospel according to John, we find, and we actually jumped in kind of in the mid to latter part of the story, we find that Jesus had fed a lot of folks. In fact, he had fed 5,000 plus. And when nightfall comes, he decides to go across the Sea of Galilee just to kind of get away. In between that feeding of this large crowd and where we are now in the text, there was a storm. Disciples were scared to death. And when the people woke up the next morning, they said, "Wait a minute, what's for breakfast?" No biscuits. We need to go find Jesus. And they finally find him on the other side. They had witnessed a grand miracle as Jesus had fed them until they were stuffed, just like we will be this week. And when they find him, what do they want? More bread. More bread. And Jesus talked about this bread, and he talked about this living bread and this long-lasting bread. Said, "Well, give it to us always." In fact, they even talked about manna and Moses giving manna in the wilderness. These Galileans had seen a sign, and yet they failed to look beyond the physical realm for the deeper meaning in this sign. Now, actually, this event takes place not too far from Passover. And so they had been reminded that God had given bread from heaven. during the wilderness wanderings. And when Jesus mentioned earlier the bread that endures, they mistakenly assumed that it was this bread that Jesus was commending to them. The bread from heaven, manna. So they challenged Jesus. Really, they challenged him to match Moses. They said, okay, then give us this bread. That is this manna, this bread from heaven, and give it to us every day. Keep us full. That's one less thing on the grocery list. If he supplied it every day, not only would they not need to go buy grain or buy bread, they wouldn't need to work or labor for what Jesus calls the food that perishes. The food that perishes. Jesus reminds them just before our passage today that Moses was not the source of the manna. God was. And God is the source. Not only of that manna, of that bread, God is the source of all of this food. And everything else that we have. And then he says, Moses was not from heaven, but the Son is. Well, this is the Gospel of John. And we find that as John records things very often, Jesus will say something and either the crowds or the disciples, or in the case of Nicodemus when he came in John chapter 3, will misunderstand. And this affords Jesus the opportunity to explain in more depth what he means, to try and get them to look beyond just the surface into something that is deeper. And so they continue to misunderstand Jesus, and he decides to make the profound meaning of what they observed clear. And he says, the real bread of life is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world and for the world. He says this just prior to where we jump in today. And then he says, I am that bread. New Testament scholar of last century, John Marsh, writes, and I quote, the bread of life is the bread who has life in himself. And so he can bring about a condition of eternal life in those who feed upon him. To eat of this bread is to be rid of hunger. Not physical hunger, that's my addition, but Marsh goes on to say, the real hunger that is peculiar to man. A deep hunger, an inner hunger. Jesus has been setting the terms hunger, bread, life, and belief in their right relationships. He goes on to say, real bread for man is spiritual, not physical. So real bread from heaven is not manna, or any other matter just dropping out of the sky, but the incarnation of the very Son of God. Life is not that which physical bread sustains, but life is that which is sustained between Jesus and his disciples in their relationship of true belief. And this is a life that ultimately knows no death. While physical death comes, spiritual life continues. And belief in the Son is possible to men only because the Son is incarnate, has come into the world, and was seen. End of quote. And yet Jesus says, many of you see, and yet you do not believe. They saw him physically. They saw the signs and they continued not to truly believe. You might say, oh, but we don't really see. And yet we believe. And while Jesus will talk about those who believe without seeing, when he talks to Thomas especially, at the same time, do we not see in other ways? the actions of God in our lives, the actions of God in the life of others, the actions of God in the world around us. Sometimes, even in the midst of difficulty, we find and we see. Not so much with physical eyes, but with those inner eyes which can look upon Him. Therefore, Jesus is the bread that He brings. Jesus doesn't bring something separate from Himself. Here Jesus says, I am that bread. He brings Himself. But interestingly enough, in the Greek text, the phrase here, I am the bread of life, can very readily be translated, I am the bread that is life. Brings a little bit more clarity to translate it that way. I am the bread that is life. If so, because it, that is the bread or Jesus, is life, then Jesus and Jesus alone can bestow life on others. Unfortunately, there will be many who, in His day, who will not accept that life, who will not accept that bread. And in the millennia that have passed, there have been many, many who still continue to see but not believe, or to refuse to see at all, to refuse to accept that bread, that life that Jesus gives. And He says, those who really take it into themselves, I will not drive away. Unfortunately, there are those who try it and then they give it away and turn and walk away. But this is the great mystery, the coming in the flesh of the eternal Word of God can only be adequately seen in reference to the eternal will and purpose of God. Because Jesus Himself says here, it's not just enough that I am that bread that is life. Jesus says, I come for a purpose. And I come not just to do what I wish to do on a whim, but rather I have come to accomplish the purpose, to fulfill the purpose of the One who sent me, the Father. And so this great mystery can only be adequately understood, can only adequately be seen first and then understood in reference to the eternal will and purpose of God. And the Word made flesh has a purpose and a duty not only in His physical day, but even today. He is that bread of thanksgiving. He is that bread that is given in thanksgiving for life. And He is that bread that we remember, that we live and subsist upon, not physically, but in our spiritual lives, in those dry emotional and spiritual days. The Word made flesh fulfills that mission. And the will of God the Father is to give life. Not just eternal life somewhere out there, but to give that life beginning now. Belief in the Son brings this. But belief in the Son also involves life in the Son, life for the Son, and life lived with the Son. Our bread of life, our thanksgiving bread. And so it is my prayer, my hope, my desire that, and a dollar will get you drink the drink machine. But it's my prayer and my hope and my desire that this Thanksgiving will be one where we remember the bread of life as we eat the bread on the table. And as we do so, we remember that He is indeed the thanksgiving bread that sustains life. May we pray. Our most gracious God, we are truly grateful. Far too often we do not show it. Far too often we rush through, and even at Thanksgiving we eat quickly with maybe a cursory word said in prayer. Remind us anew as we pause to give thanks for the bounty that we have, that life comes from you, and that as we eat the bread on Thursday during those Thanksgiving meals, that you are the bread that sustains even beyond. Touch our hearts and touch our spirits in thanksgiving and in living that thanksgiving. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 786. Something that I hope we do, but far too often we don't. We sing the hymn, "Count Your Blessings." Name them one by one, and then we say, "Thank you for all the blessings," without ever naming them. May this truly be something which we do not just this week and not just today, but regularly remember to count those blessings. Hymn number 786.